This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
Most agents will require a notice period to terminate their agreements. That's usually around 14 days. But do bear in mind that this period will coincide with the end of the sole agency fixed period at best. So you can't terminate the agreement during the fixed period and instruct another agent unless you're willing to pay two fees. And understandably, most people aren't.
Welcome to Series 2 of the Property Podcast with Wards and me, Gary Wilson, the weekly podcast where I'll share with you all the latest Kent property news, as well as speaking with industry professionals to offer advice and tips that will hopefully help make your house move journey a little less stressful. Welcome to episode 2 of the Property Podcast with Wards, Series 2. Today, we're going to be talking about what you can do if you're unhappy with your current estate agent. And our special guest to talk us through that with all the answers on this one, it's Loretta Strong, Compliance Director at Wards. First of all, thanks for coming in. Thanks for being on the podcast, Loretta.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It's lovely to have you here. Now, you've got a lovely soothing voice. I can tell that just from that little bit there. So I know that you're going to put people's minds at rest today on this podcast. So let's start with what are the essential aspects of a property agreement that homeowners in Kent should understand before engaging with an estate agent?
Well, Gary, estate agency agreements can vary widely from agent to agent. So my best advice is to spend as much time as you need reading through the agreement very carefully, asking the agent to explain anything you don't fully understand. That can take some time, so don't feel embarrassed to keep the agent waiting while you do it. Your property is often your most valuable asset, and it's important to take your time and make the right decisions. It's worth remembering you'll normally be working with your agent for several weeks or even months before your sale completes. So take your time at those early stages.
What are the highlights, the key terms in those agreements that people are going to be looking over, perhaps sweating and worrying, or they're signing their lives away? What do they need to be cautious of? What do they need to really look out for and pay attention to?
So there's several different types of agency agreement. The most commonly used one is sole agency and also sole selling rights, both of which restrict you to using only one agent for a fixed period of time. Then there's multi-agency, which allows you to use two or more agents at the same time. I would say sole agency is usually the preferable route to go for most sellers. If you go straight onto the market on a multi-agency agreement, it can give buyers the wrong impression that you're struggling to sell and that you're having to cast your net out wider. An exclusive sole agency agreement not only gives a more favourable impression of your property, but it also creates a greater degree of commitment between you and your agent. You're working together towards a successful outcome. Sole agency is also cheaper in most cases, which is a nice bonus. So when choosing a sole agency option, make sure you're clear and happy about how long you're committing to staying with that agent. If you feel it might be too long, just talk to them and see if you can reduce it a little until it's an agreement term you're comfortable with. It's also important to understand what the charges are, whether they include VAT or not, what services the agent provides that are included in those charges. Some agents you will find will charge extra for things like accompanying viewings, whereas we don't do that at Wards. Also, things like enhanced photography, floor plans, video tours, they often incur a small additional fee. You will need an energy performance certificate as well, as it's a legal requirement, and they're generally chargeable as well. Every agency agreement should include details of how you can terminate the agreement after the sole agency fixed period expires and what remaining liabilities you might have after it expires. If the agreement was completed by email, the agent visited you in your home, you do have a right to cancel the agreement within the first 14 days. This is commonly known as the cooling off period. If you visited the agent in the office, you won't have the entitlement to cancel the agreement because you made an active approach to the agent. So it's considered that you gave it reasonable thought before you made that decision.
So when people are going through all their agreements, they're looking at words and phrases they possibly don't know, have heard, but they don't know what they mean. So what are those things to really pay close attention to, be sort of cautious about?
As I said before, I think sole agency and sole selling rights are probably the most consistent terms that you'll come across in estate agents' agreements. Both of those types of agreements require what we call statutory definitions. And that means that when either of those terms are used, the agent must use prescribed wording to explain what they mean. An example of a subtle but important difference is that sole selling rights will commit you to paying the agent's fee even if you sell your property privately, so to a family member, a friend, or a neighbour. Whereas with sole agency, the fee applies only if the agent introduced the buyer. Introduction is also used commonly, and it relates to prospective buyers. It can be a wide term or it can be quite narrow according to what type of agreement you have. So if you have a multi-agency agreement, a viewing must usually take place before an agent can claim a fee. Whereas with a sole agency agreement, the agent can charge a fee if the buyer is introduced to the property through any of its marketing methods. And this includes downloading a brochure, seeing a board outside, etc. So just be aware of what the triggers are for the fee being due. Most agreements will operate on a no-sale, no-fee basis, where you will not pay a fee to the agent unless contracts exchange. The fee is generally paid by your legal representative, and that comes out of the proceeds of sale on completion. If the sale falls through, the agent will aim to sell the property again, and if they succeed, you should only be charged once. Other terms you might see are more widely used, for example, net and gross fees. So net excludes VAT, gross includes VAT. Terms such as termination, withdrawal, and cancellation. So just be sure that you understand what they mean and how you activate them.
And with all these various new words, new phrases, people trying to get their head round. Obviously, you might be worried that you've, like I said before, you kind of signed your life away. But obviously, there are ways out if you're unhappy with anything. But what rights do people need to be aware of as they get into these contracts? How important is it for homeowners in Kent to be aware of their rights? What do they need to do about on that front?
Well, that's incredibly important, Gary. So to avoid financial consequences and to prevent disputes from arising, it's vital to have clarity on what you're agreeing to before you sign a contract. And this applies to any contract you sign for goods or services. With estate agency agreements, it's always useful to know and understand your rights and the level of service that your estate agent should be providing to you. All estate agents must belong to a redress scheme, and wards are members of the Property Ombudsman, whose website can be a useful source of information to consumers. It provides access to a variety of helpful documents, including consumer guides, for both sales and lettings. If you're unhappy with any aspect of the service your agent provides, you should always contact them first. Remember that it's in their best interest to sell your property, as they won't be paid unless they do. Simple misunderstandings can usually be ironed out in conversation. However, if your concerns are more significant, it's preferable to send an email or a letter to formalise them. As every agent must belong to an ombudsman, they must also have a complaints procedure, which you can ask them to send to you. This will help to ensure that your concerns are dealt with promptly and by the right person. If you're still unhappy after receiving their reply, you should ask for their final viewpoint letter, as the ombudsman won't normally review complaints until the agent's issued this. It might be that the agent offers an acceptable resolution and you can get back on track without needing to involve the ombudsman.
When all that has been done, if the worst comes to the worst, and the decision is made, the homeowner thinks, no, I need to look elsewhere, get another agent. When is that real point? When is that line that is crossed? And what does a customer need to do, a client need to do at that point?
Well, as I mentioned previously, the important thing is to speak to your own agent first and try and iron the problems out. But in the meantime, there's no reason why sellers can't put feelers out to see what other agents are offering. And most will have called in two or three different agents at the start before they decided to use their existing agent anyway. However, there's a gotcha here. You need to be aware that most agents will do their best to persuade you to switch to them, and they won't necessarily be focusing on your contractual responsibilities, including any dual fee liability that they might be creating if you switch to them before your existing agreement has been properly terminated. If you've come to the end of your fixed term and simply want to give someone else a try, always make sure you've been fully released from your previous agreement before you sign an agreement with a new agent.
So you want to part company with your current estate agent. It seems like everything's in place to do that. But what are the procedures that you need to go through? We'll find out in part two.
As Kent's local independent estate agent, Wards utilise years of experience and expertise to promote your property in the best possible light to the largest possible audience. For more information, receive an online valuation in less than 30 seconds or book an in-person appraisal of your property with us today, head over to wardsofkent.co.uk to find out more about our unique approach.
So the time has come then that you've decided you're going to part ways with your current estate agent. What are the procedures? What's the serving notice, if that's even the right phrase, on a current estate agent in Kent? What do you need to do? What are the potential pitfalls that homeowners should look out for?
Sure. Most agents will require a notice period to terminate their agreements. That's usually around 14 days. But do bear in mind that this period will coincide with the end of the sole agency fixed period at best. So you can't terminate the agreement during the fixed period and instruct another agent unless you're willing to pay two fees. And understandably, most people aren't. All agents will know if you've sold through another agent or even privately to a buyer they've introduced. So it's better to involve the agent and let them negotiate a sale price for you that will be high enough to cover the agent's fees. If the agent you're leaving has pending offers, for example, from buyers who are paying an acceptable price but might not have sold their own property yet, remember that the agent who introduced them remains entitled to continue dealing with their interest when they're under offer and able to proceed.
Now, when it comes to advice, you turn to the fellas down the pub, you turn to friends and family. But where can people get trusted advice? Where would you recommend there's any specific public Q&A sessions that people can attend, or forums where people can go that are selling their homes in Kent, where they can get, you know, real trustworthy advice, get clarification on any estate agent related issues, really?
Probably the best source for information would be an ombudsman's website, because that's the definitive information out there for you. Everything else has a degree of hearsay to it, and there's a lot of bad advice out there and incorrect advice. So go to the ombudsman, have a look at their consumer guides. You can even speak to them. They're very approachable if you telephone, and they can give you advice over the phone on what your agent should be doing. You can also speak to your agent themselves, who should have a complaints department or some form of contact with a person who will be able to give you sound advice. But if you feel like you're being given the wrong advice, then always go to somebody independent. As the saying goes, knowledge is power. And after 30 years working with Wards and Arran Estates, and having been an agent in branch for many of those years, I'm a huge advocate for ensuring that consumers are well informed and will always take as much time as necessary to explain agreements. I definitely recommend a platform that gives consumers an opportunity to ask questions and better understand what's an unknown territory to many. And it can be a complicated process, even with some experience. We don't move home often, and it's easy to forget how the process works. Unfortunately, there isn't currently a forum where you can ask questions.
There isn't currently. Obviously, that would be a good thing if something like that could come along. But as we are, in what ways can homeowners protect their interests and ensure a smooth transition when switching from one estate agent to another in Kent?
Well, to sum it up simply, make sure the required notice was given and has been served out. Ask for confirmation that you're now free to instruct another agent. Ask for a list of prospective buyers that the outgoing agent introduced. That's very important. So if your new agent then tries to introduce any of those same applicants, you need to direct them back to the previous agent. Keep a list of the applicants your new agent introduces for clarity. And if any dispute arises, address it promptly and certainly before you exchange contracts, as this is when the agent's entitlement to a fee is triggered.
So if in doubt, ask. And then ask, and then ask, and follow it up with some asking.
Absolutely.
Now, there can be an interesting reputation that estate agents have. So this is a nice little question that will allow you to perhaps get something off your chest, Loretta. We want to know if there are any common misconceptions or myths about dealing with estate agents in general in Kent, that you'd like to address for our fabulous podcast listeners?
Certainly. First and foremost, estate agents do work very hard. The hours are long and many work weekends. It's a commission-based industry, therefore the agents need to be at the coalface as much as possible, and they do want to sell your property as much as you do. However, with the best will in the world, it's a myth that agents are responsible for all aspects of a sale and purchase from start to finish. Many other experienced professionals are involved, and they all have an important part to play. Whether it's knowledgeable mortgage advisors securing the best product and rate for you, or all-important conveyancing partners protecting your interests and ensuring that the sale completes smoothly and swiftly. Wards offer all of those options, and that's designed to help you every step of the way. We're immensely privileged to have a strong reputation in Kent, which results in recommendations and repeat customers. And Wards will always do their best to provide a great service, including obtaining the best possible price for your property. Our company ethos is something we live and breathe by, and treating our customers fairly is at the heart of everything we do.
Well, I'm convinced that all estate agents are wonderful, wonderful people, just like you, Loretta. I'm absolutely overjoyed that you've set the record straight, and you'll have made a lot of people feel, just from your tone, not only just your brilliant answers to all the questions, but just your tone as well. I think a lot of people will feel a lot happier about their next endeavour with an estate agent. Now, for all our listeners, don't forget, it's really a good idea to consult with a financial advisor, solicitor or estate agent to help you navigate the home buying process and answer any additional questions you might have. Thanks again to our special guest today, Loretta Strong, Compliance Director at Wards, for sharing all your insights and your expertise with us today, and your luscious tones as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can check out this episode, all the previous episodes as well, at im-listening.co.uk. And don't forget to check out the Property Podcast with Wards next week. See you then. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Thanks for listening to the Property Podcast with Wards. If you'd like more information on the subjects that we've covered in this week's episode, just head over to the Wards website at wardsofkent.co.uk, or you can follow us on our social media channels. You can check out our latest episodes at im-listening.co.uk or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.